If we take our Bibles back over to the book of James and chapter 4. James chapter 4. The title of the message today is, Do Your Plans Include Him? Do your plans include Him? The theme for our this year, 2019, is taken from the famous quote from missionary C.T. Studd. And of course, this is just a portion of the poem, but the line that repeats throughout the verses. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. C.T. Studd didn't just say these words. The testimony of his life was to live these words. Wasn't just a trite or catchy statement that he made and didn't live by, but actually he did give his life to serve the Lord. And Mr. Studd lived in the years 1860 through 1931. And during his life, among numerous other things, he came to Christ in his teens, trusted the Lord Jesus, and for numerous years, or for several years, I think it was at least six or so, that he didn't really live for the Lord, but backslid, but then got right with God. And I believe it was in connection with some of the preaching of Moody and the revival meetings that Moody and Sankey were doing around the country. And C.T. Studd went to China then as a missionary, I believe, I'm drawing a blank of the missionary that directed and called for people to come to China. William Carey, I think it is. Or Adoniram Judson, perhaps, yeah. At any rate, Mr. Studd went to be a missionary in China. He also served for numerous years, not only in China, but then India and Africa. And so this is something he said as well. He said, if Jesus Christ is God and died on the cross for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ is God and died on the cross for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to live for him. As we read the scripture here, it's probably somewhat familiar from James chapter 4. We have the question to get our attention of arresting people who have been making a lot of plans and been even boastful in those plans to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We've got this figured out. We're going to go here. We're going to sell this, make money on that. We're going to do this. And they had a lot of plans that James is addressing a group here, a certain way of thinking, attitude that people had. And certainly, by way of the Holy Spirit's direction in using James, giving him the words to write here, the Holy Spirit has this for us today, not just for 2,000 years ago. And to help us to understand what is our life. And we often make plans. We say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here, and tomorrow I'm going to do that. And, you know, this is what's hopefully going to happen. Making plans. And, well, I don't believe God is against making plans, but do our plans include Him? Do our plans include Him? Or, even better, are our plans His? His. Are our plans His? Notice verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. In other words, here's some people who planned a year or more ahead. And the word of God here arrests their thinking and says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life, it asks here. It is even a vapor, it answers the question and explains how short life is, how frail it is. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, sometimes we think we're going to be around a long time. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. We don't know. Today is the day to serve God. Today is the day to use our life for His honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word today. I pray that you'd stir our hearts as we contemplate your will and that we would be sensitive to your leading in our lives and that we would steer away from the idea of all of our aspirations or plans that we would make without seeking you. But Lord, that we would yield our plans to you, that we would yield our steps to you, that we might do your will, not ours. That we might use our life for your glory and not waste our life. For you have said, he that loseth his life for your sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. But he who saves his life shall lose it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to lose our lives for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Do your plans include him? Number one this morning, life is too precious to waste. Your life is too precious to waste. The phrase here, go to now, ye that say. I think we might maybe put it in a more common vernacular to say, come on now. You know, what are you thinking? You've got all these plans, and yet you haven't consulted the Lord. And we can see that they hadn't consulted the Lord. Because look down in verse 15. For that ye ought to say, all right, which is what they weren't saying, if the Lord wills, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So he's not attacking the planning necessarily, but the absence of considering God and God's will. Without doing God's will, we will waste our life. We may go into a city and buy and sell and get gain, but if it's not the will of God, if we haven't been following God, it is a waste. The gain we may have had is a waste. You can gain the whole world, right? And obviously in the context of saved and lost, and if we lose our own soul, it's a waste. But you know what? For us to gain the whole world as a Christian, sort of wealth and fame or what have you, but not to reach souls, not to do the will of God, it is a waste as well, the waste of a child of God's life. And so life is too precious to waste. Let's consider how diligent God does want us to be in preparations, in plans. Consider the words in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, if you'd go over there. Just to understand that God is not against being diligent or industrious, hardworking, or being a businessman. God's not against these things. Making provisions for future days, God's not against that. And we can see here in Proverbs 6, notice verse number 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. So God is directing us to look at the ant as an example of hard work, diligence, and even some planning for the future. So go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And so God is teaching us to be diligent, to be hardworking, to have focus, have goals, things that we're striving for. But obviously, they need to be in the will of God. We need to consider Him. And that's what he addresses here in James chapter 4. That ye ought to say. This is what you should be saying. This is how you should be planning. Lord, what is your will? Right? Lord willing, this is what we're planning and we're seeking God. The idea here is not just tacking on, well, if the Lord will, you know. We'll be there if the Lord will, or, you know. Not just tacking God onto the end of our plans that we've already made, but including God. Really, as we'll see here, Proverbs 3. Let's go over there, in fact, right now. If you may be still in Proverbs, back over to Proverbs 3. Noticing verse 5. Now, I know these verses are familiar. They are good, and that's why they've been chosen many times for a verse to memorize or hold dear. But they are packed with truth, like every verse of Scripture is. And please notice what the Bible says, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. So that is what really is the right approach here, is to seek God and the direction of our life. You know, so often it's easy for us to make plans, and not necessarily bad plans. I mean, God doesn't condemn the plan to go into a city and buy and sell. He's not condemning that action necessarily. But what is God's will? That's what we need to consider. Lord, what is your will for my life, for tomorrow, for the days ahead, for the direction? Whether it be in our youth, considering as we get older, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be? You know, what's your will for my life? But you know what? Really, God's will is a daily thing. It's yes, there's future things. Lord, what kind of preparation should I make? You know, and things like that. We got some young men who've been preparing, who've been seeking God's direction in their lives. And you know what? There's different stages of life. I mean, when you're 8 years old, like Alec just turned yesterday, you know, God has a plan for his life today, this year, right? God's will for him is, yes, as if God gives him breath, if time unfolds, if the Lord does not return before, you know, he's going to get older, he's going to turn into an adult. He will, if God wills, if that's the time he would allow in this life. But you know what? God's will for him is today and tomorrow, and it's going somewhere. It's going somewhere. It's making him something. So I want to emphasize to you as well, as we think about the will of God, that a key part of God's will, and noticing not only my life is too precious to waste, but a second aspect, God's will must be our priority. God's will must be our priority. And the priority in God's will is my relationship with him, right? If it's God's will for a certain person to go on to have a career in being a firefighter, or have a career in the medical community, or have a life of missionary service, you know, God's will, of course, is for every Christian is that we would be holy and godly. And you know what? Really, the career, sort of the big thing that we often think about, is really secondary in many ways. It's not that God doesn't have a desire for our lives. And, you know, for Jeremiah, the Bible records that before he was born, that God had ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations, right? So God does have a calling on our life, an area of service. When we get saved, he gives us gifts that we will discover as we grow and mature, and as we seek him, we'll discover what he has given us, and we'll see them honed for his service. But first and foremost, God's will for my life is my relationship with him. My relationship with him. Not necessarily some certain task, although that's part of it, but it's not primary. Not necessarily some certain occupation, but my relationship with him. You know what? You could be a firefighter and not be right with God. Be a Christian, be a firefighter, but not be right with God, right? If that's not his will, or even if his will was in that kind of vocation to help people and protect communities and save lives in those ways, but if that person isn't walking with God and their relationship with God isn't what it should be, they're not going to be what they should be as a firefighter. They may save physical lives, but what is their testimony? You know, there's some occupations that face a lot of pressure to conform to the world, to just go along to get along. Our relationship with him, whether we're 8 years old, whether we're 22 years old, like Matthew turned today, or whether we're 62 years old, whatever the case may be, God has a plan for our lives. And it starts with my relationship with him, my walk with him. God's will must be our priority. Let's go to the book of Ezra and chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Chapter 7, let's notice verse 6. The Bible says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." And let's skip up here to verse 9. "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For," would you read verse 10 with me? "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." All right, so the Bible tells us that God prospered Ezra's desire. Ezra wanted to go up. He wanted to leave Babylon, go up and help in Jerusalem. The city had been broken down, the walls broken down, and there was quite a number of people that went up at a few different times to Jerusalem. And Ezra's one of these. The Bible tells us that he, in verse 6, was a ready scribe. In other words, he'd prepared. He knew the word of God. It tells us also in verse 10, his heart was prepared. He wasn't just going as a warm body. He was a prepared vessel. His heart was right with God. And God prospered him. And you can see in verse 9, it says, "According to the good hand," in the last part of the verse, "according to the good hand of his God upon him, for Ezra had prepared his heart." He was prepared in his heart with God, and so God could use his life, and God did use Ezra. And Ezra was a help and a blessing, and he was a ready teacher, a willing and ready and able to communicate the word of God and to teach, it says here, in Israel, statutes and judgments. He was prepared. So God's will for my life is that I would be always preparing, always in a state of growing, going deeper, drawing closer to the Lord, growing in his word. We'll never come to a place where we're like, you know, been there, done that. Yeah, hey, the Bible, yeah, I read that. You know, how many times I've heard that, you know, you talk to somebody, do you ever read the Bible? Oh, yeah, hey, I read that. How? Yeah, 10 years ago or whatever, you know. It's like, well, it's not a book we read and then leave on the shelf. It's a God's word that we study with our life. I remember my grandpa, my mom's father, and even to his 80s and 90s, he would study the Word of God. Remember that as I was a kid, we visited in their apartment up in British Columbia. He would study God's Word, and he'd study the original languages too. He studied Hebrew a lot. And as an old man, as having taught the Bible for many, many years, still studying, still growing, still seeking God. And so my relationship with him, whether I'm 8, whether I'm 22, whether I'm 72, whatever the case may be, God's will ought to be my priority, and the priority of God's will is my relationship with him. My relationship with him. Also, we want to see that God's will is always a path of obedience and dependence. God's path, his will for my life, is always characterized by obedience to him and dependence upon him. Obedience and dependence. Another way we could say that is faith. I'm not saying independence, I'm saying dependence. Depending on God. Trusting him, believing his word. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And so as I seek God, as I trust him, as I claim his word, as I claim his promises and step forward in obedience, I will find myself walking in the will of God. We read Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God calls us to not just trust him a little bit, but God emphasizes with our whole heart, you'll seek me and find me, God says, when you search for me with all your heart. God is looking for us to seek him wholeheartedly, to cultivate our relationship with him, his will. Whether we're going to buy and sell and get gain, or whether we're going to journey to this city or that city, or whether we're going to stay here or where we're going to go, those are all secondary matters. But we must seek the will of God. Lord, what is your will? First and foremost, my relationship with him. I would like to go to 2 Chronicles and chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Please notice the first half of verse 9. Verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, if God did that in Asa's day, King Asa here, if God says, this is how it is, I'm looking through the whole earth, I'm looking to find someone to work through, someone whose heart is right with me, that I can work through, that I can accomplish my will in this world, that I can use as a vessel to spread the gospel, a vessel to bring others to the Savior, a vessel to disciple others in their walk. What God says, I'm looking through the whole earth to show myself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. And so, what is your life? God says, it's a vapor. It appears for a little time. We ought to seek the will of God. We ought to walk in the will of God. My relationship with him needs to be cultivated far more than a task or an occupation. My relationship. If my relationship is right, my feet will be going in the right direction, right? My hands will be occupied with the right work if my relationship with him is right. I can try to handle the right work or try to walk the right path, but if my relationship isn't right, it won't be right anyway, right? Because the occupation isn't as important as the relationship. I must be walking with God, right with him, walking in obedience and dependence upon him. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Of course, at this time, Moses has died. Joshua has been commissioned as the next leader of the nation of Israel. And God encourages him to be strong. Verse 7. Joshua chapter 1. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, next word, prosper. Prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, next three words, observe to do. Observe to do. In other words, look intently at the word of God so you might obey it. Observe to do all that is written, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here is the condition of success with God. Success in our life, that is to do the will of God, is obedience, taking heed to what God has said. Life is too precious to waste. God's will must be our priority. What is your life? Do your plans include him? Are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? Are you in all your ways acknowledging him so that he might direct your paths? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we know that our life is truly just a little vapor in the whole scope of life and eternity of history. We are just a little vapor here for but a moment. And Lord, help us to seek you with our whole heart and to consider in daily life and in plans for the future that we would consider you and what's your will. How would you have us to walk? Where would you have us to go? What would you have us to be occupied with? Lord, I pray that you would guide our steps. Help us to ponder and to listen to your direction. In Jesus' name, amen.